For those able, please stand in honor of God's word. Today's reading is from Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 24. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are all members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of the mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were seated for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Here ends the reading of God's word. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning. As I was reading through the text for this Sunday, I don't know if you remember, last Sunday I started in the middle of the reading. Today I'm starting at the end. You know, it's you don't know how God's going to lead you. So as I'm reading the text and preparing for the message, I'm praying, you know, God, what do you want me to say? Show me what I need to emphasize, what I need to work on. It was that very last verse that Jackie just read. Michelle wasn't able to be here today, so Jackie stepped in at the last moment, read for us, so thank you for that. Also, before we begin, guess who stopped by and visited our new church this week? Jackie. Pastor Mark Benz. Oh, yeah, you cheated. He stopped to see Jackie before he came over here. So he called me and he said, are you in your office? I said, yeah. He said, how long are you going to be there? I said, oh, about an hour. He says, I'll be there in half an hour. So he stopped and he just looked over everything, just was very, very happy. We prayed together and it was just good to see him. He's been working with some vets in the, is it Urbana? Is that the area where he's at? Or Imesville? Imesville is where it's at. And he was back in the area doing some work with some vets. So he just took a few minutes to swing by and see our new place and sends his greetings and love. Grace to you, shalom from God our Father, from Jesus our Messiah, and from the Holy Spirit who gives us faith. As I said, I wanted to emphasize this last verse that Jackie read today. Mine skipped. Okay, it finally showed up. When I pressed mine, it didn't seem to jump on the slide, so we may have to work together. I don't know here. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you. And that's where I took the title of the sermon, Forgiven to Forgive. That's important to remember that the verse and the reason we are forgiven, it's a wonderful thing. You know, when you come to saving faith in Jesus and all your sins are washed away, all that weight is gone, you're in a good relationship with God, it's a wonderful thing. But that isn't all it's for. It's for the people around us as well. Forgiven to forgive. It's not always an easy thing. And that's why I went and found the parable of the unmerciful servant, that little kids' story that you saw in there. So today I'm going to be spending some time in Matthew 18. That's where that parable is from, because it really helps us with this verse. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So make it a little bit easier to talk about these people in this parable. I'm going to talk about three people. The king, you're just going to call him the king, and Fred and Barney, okay? Now, I know you know the Flintstones, and this has nothing to do with the Flintstones, but I just thought it'd be an easy way. Pick some names that aren't in our congregation, okay? So this isn't about anybody. I'm talking about the parable. So in Matthew 18, the king tells a man named Fred, who was forgiven a tremendous sum when he begged the king to be merciful to him and more time to pay. The king didn't say, okay, Fred, I'll give you 6 months, and then you better have it to me in full, or that there's going to be consequences. No, he forgave him everything. He forgave this huge, huge, enormous debt. And then Fred, when he'd been forgiven this huge debt, he goes out and he finds Barney. And when he finds Barney, he doesn't have mercy on him. In fact, here's the picture. He starts choking him. Hey, dude, you owe me money. Now, Barney didn't owe Fred a lot of money, but he owed him some money. He says, pay up. And Barney said the same thing to Fred that Fred said to the king. Hey, have mercy on me. Give me some time. I'll get you your money. He says, no. And he threw him into debtor's jail. And just to give you a little example, debtor's jail, it's kind of like you work 18 hours a day and you earn $1. So if you owe $100, 100 days in jail. Just to give you an example, how you work off your debt in debtor's jail. Okay? So Fred was totally unmerciful to Barney, even though Fred had been shown a huge amount of mercy. Okay, when the king, who had forgiven Fred this great sum, when he hears what happens, calls Fred back. He says, look, I was merciful to you. Here, I'm going to put it up on the screen, the text from Matthew 18. Then his master, after he called him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to torturers until he should pay him all that was due him. So how long is Fred going to stay in jail now, in debtor's prison? Forever. It's going to take him, you know, the parable says he owed the king 10,000 talents of gold. A talent is 75 pounds, so that's 75,000 pounds of gold. And any of you got that lying around? No, none of us do. I mean, that's a huge, huge amount. Here I've got a slide, shows some scales here. 75,000 pounds. Let's just say the other guy, Barney, owed 100 pounds. There's no comparison between these two. So I was trying to think, What's the hugest amount of weight we could think of versus something that's just a tiny amount? And the next slide shows the weight of the world versus one drop of water. Okay? So let's say that, you know, Barney owed one drop of water and Fred owed the weight of the world. Well, you know, my crazy mind, the way I think, how much does the world weigh? What is the mass of the world? And I went and found this online. The Earth's mass is 13.2 septillion pounds. A septillion is one followed by 24 zeros. Now, don't ask me how they figure that out, but, you know, people a lot smarter than me can do that. Now, a water drop's mass is 0.05 grams. It takes 500 drops to make 1 gram, and it takes 453.6 grams to equal 1 pound, or 226,800 drops of water to equal 1 pound. The thing that we need to understand in all of this is that you and I have been forgiven the equivalent of the mass of the earth. 13.2 septillion pounds. That's what God has forgiven you. When you come to Jesus and say, Lord, forgive me, think of all the stuff you've done that you're ashamed of, that you never want anybody to know about, and all the other stuff that's caused harm in people's lives that you love. Think of everything since you were born. It's got to be at least that much. It's a huge, huge amount. So this whole parable is about us and what we've been forgiven, so that we can remember that when somebody else needs to be forgiven by us. Who are we to withhold when we've been forgiven so, so much? In fact, that's on the next slide. Who are you to withhold forgiveness after I've forgiven you so much? That's what Jesus says to us. Just like the king said to Fred, Jesus says to us. Now, there's the reality of feeling like you can't forgive. Maybe you've been hurt so badly by someone, you say, I could never forgive that person. And I believe that. I believe that's true. And you say, I can't do it. Well, my friend, that's the best news I have ever heard. You can't do it? Neither can I. Neither can anybody else. Because if we think in and of ourselves, okay, I'm going to forgive him, I'm going to be nice, but inside I'm going to think, you are really a jerk. Man, I just hate you. Oh, I forgive you, but I hate you. Oh, I forgive you, but I hate you. That's what happens when we try to do it in and of ourselves. But if we come to God and say, I can't do it, help me to do what I can't do. You have the power. We used Ezekiel's dry bones a couple weeks ago. Do you remember that? If God can take a valley of dry bones and put flesh on them and put his life breath into them, and they stand up a living army, if God can do that, he can give you the power to forgive. Now, it might come all at once. You say, God, I can't do this. Help me to do it. Like when Corrie Ten Boom, when she said she couldn't forgive this German guard who led her father and sister away in the German concentration camp of the Nazis, God instantly gave her the ability to forgive this guy when he asked her. It might happen like that. Praise God, I pray that it does. But you know what? Sometimes it doesn't happen that way. What do you do then? Well, you ask God for the ability to do what you can't do. You continue to do that on a daily basis. That he would take away the hatred, that he would take away the anger, that he would give you the power to do those things. What happens if you still can't let it go? Well, then you go to that person and you ask them to forgive you. First of all, you got to sit down and think about it. Have I done anything to harm this person? You might have, you might not have, but if you have, go and clean off your side of the street. Go and say, I did this. I know this was wrong. Please forgive me. And don't you dare say, I'm here to do this because you did. No. I fell into that trap once. Actually, somebody saved me from actually doing it. I was making amends in AA. And I was preparing to do this, and my sponsor said, I want you to write out what you're going to say to this person and read it to me. And I read it out. My sponsor said, that's good, that's good, that's good. And then I got to the end and I said, I'm saying this because you did this to me. And my sponsor just about, it was over the phone. My sponsor just about jumped through the phone and ate me alive. Don't you dare point a finger at the other person. You are there to clean off your side of the street. You go and you confess your sin, and you ask them to forgive you. Now, that may be the end of it. That may be the release. And you may feel in your heart, whether they forgive you or not, you may feel in your heart that you can forgive them. What happens if that doesn't work? Well, you continue to pray that God would bless them. Bless them. What? Just imagine, what would you like to be blessed with? Ask God to bless them with those things. Whatever comes to mind. And every day, pray for that person. Pray, God, bless this person. Whether you mean it or not, when you start off, you may not mean it. But by the time you get further down the road, your heart's going to soften. Your heart is going to soften because you need it to. People think you have to forgive and forget. Is that biblical? Guess what? It's not. The Bible doesn't anywhere tell you to forgive and forget. It tells you to forgive. Forgive, 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 forgive. Amen. All over the place. But it doesn't tell you to forget. Now, when you've been healed of this and you're able to forgive somebody from your heart, you can remember the pain that they caused you. But it's like, well, yeah, I had eggs for breakfast yesterday. It's like that kind of memory. It doesn't have any emotion with it. Let me put up, there's a couple of verses I want to put up here. One is from Jeremiah 31, verse 34. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. Go to the next slide. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. It doesn't tell you to forget. It says God will, any sin God has forgiven, he forgets. Isn't that amazing? Only God can do that. Go to the next slide. There's one more. This is from Hebrews 8:12. This is actually the New Testament quoting from what I just read to you from Jeremiah. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Wow. Don't we have an amazing God? Not only does he forgive us when we ask him to, he forgets. Oh, Lord, this is the 10th time I've come to you about this. And he said, what? What do you mean? That's an amazing God we serve. So you don't have to forget, but we do have to come to that place where we're healed. So you pray that God would bless that person, and you continue to do that every day until the pain goes away and the memory of what happened is like breakfast yesterday. And it has no emotional consequence with it. What happens to us if we don't do this? If we harbor that bitterness and that anger, let's put up the next slide. Holding on to anger is like drinking poison expecting the other person to die. That sounds smart, doesn't it? Yeah, I think I'll drink some poison. And I hope you die. When we look at it that way, we can laugh, but we do it. I can't. I just can't. That's good news. Take it to God and say, you can, I can't, help me to do what only you can. Do it in me, do it through me, and follow those guidelines till we have the place where we're able to let go of it. I want to share how Jesus concludes that teaching of the unmerciful servant in Matthew 18. We're going to put up a couple verses here. And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. This next verse is for us. So my heavenly Father will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. I don't ever want to hear that from God. I don't know about you. I don't want ever to hear that from God. You weren't able to forgive. I'm not going to forgive you. That's not the kind of stuff we like to hear. This right here, these are the words of Jesus. So again, the good news is if you can't forgive somebody, you take it to Jesus. Say, I don't ever want to hear these words from you, Lord. So you got to work in me. You've got to transform my heart. You've got to transform my mind. You've got to take away this pain. You've got to heal this emotional memory that's causing this problem in my relationship with this person. And he'll do it. Continue to pray for that person. Just do it every day, every day, every day. I don't want to put a time limit on it. I heard somebody say, do it for 2 weeks. Guess what? I did it for 2 weeks and it didn't work. You know what I was tempted to do? It doesn't work. Well, I didn't see in the Bible a time limit on this kind of stuff. So you keep doing it until it works. And I have to tell you, in my case, with one person in my life, it took 2.5 years of praying every day for that person that I hated, that I could not forgive. And now it's gone. And I remember what happened to me. I haven't forgotten it, but I remember it as if it was yesterday's breakfast. This is the power that God has for you and is able to work in your heart and in your life. And you just keep coming to him and say, show me how I can't. Give me the grace. Give me the power. Give me the knowledge to do what you call me to do in your word. Because I don't ever want to hear this verse applied to my life. Well, it was a deep dive into this last verse of Ephesians 4. Let's put that up there again. Be kind and tender heart. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. It's just how God took me on this journey to write this message. So I don't want to just leave out the rest of this stuff, but just to give you a summary here. Summary of verses 25 to 32. By God's grace and with his power, which we ask for to help us live this way, we will stop lying, speak truth. Earlier in Ephesians, how did it tell us to speak truth? Do you remember? In love. Oh man, we can tear people to pieces, and that might be the truth, but he calls us to speak the truth in love. For we belong to one another. That's how we remember to speak truth in love. Be angry, but don't sin. Don't give Satan a foothold. Okay, don't go on to the next. Come on back to that one on be angry. I found this quote from Aristotle. Sounded pretty good. Anyone can become angry, but to be angry with the right person to the right degree, at the right time, for the right purpose, and in the right way, that's not easy. Be angry, but don't sin. That's a tough one, isn't it? Again, we need to come to God. Don't give Satan a foothold. Do you know what happened last night as we're working on this? Paula did the background on these slides, and I got it on my computer, and I'm here in my office, and she's at home on her computer, and I call her up and I say, the word foothold is in the blue. It's like making my eyes go buggy. You see that blue in the lower right-hand corner? And I couldn't read it. Foothold? What? And she says, it looks fine on my computer. I said, well, it looks wrong on my computer. Be angry, but do not sin. Don't give Satan a foothold. And we were getting this little tension between Paul and I. She says, well, I don't know what to tell you. It looks fine on mine. I don't know what to tell you. It looks wrong on mine. So you know what I did? I went back to where Mariah's sitting, and I turned on that computer and turned on this monitor and brought it up, and guess what it looked like? Looked just like Paula's. So I had to call her up. You know what I had to say? You were right. Aren't those hard words to say? You were right. I was wrong. Three little words. You were right. Three little words. I was wrong. I didn't want to call her. I didn't want to tell her. I want to let her fester a little while. Be angry, but don't sin. You see that? You see, the littlest things can get us and get us off track. Okay, go on to the next one. Stop stealing. Give honest work. Help the needy. Don't speak corruptly, rather edify, encourage, speak words of grace. So it's all easy to do, isn't it? Not for me. Again, I got to get on my knees every day and say, give me the power. Give me the grace. Give me what I need to live the way you're calling me to live. Next slide. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. I'm going to call on Cindy here for just a second. I want you to sign the word grieve. Oh, she's making Marty do it. You sign it. Grieve. It's a great sign, isn't it? It means that it's like your heart is getting wrung out. It's like you've got a rag in your hand and you're going, don't grieve who? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is a person. You can't grieve a thing. Oh, my car's out there on the street. You can't grieve my car. But you can grieve a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Put away bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor with evil speech. And evil speaking with malice. With malice is like, man, I'm going to get you. You ever do that on the highway? Oh, you see what that guy did? I'm going to get right up on his bumper. I do it. You do it. That's malice. It's like, you deserve it. I'm going to get you. Put it away. How? With the power of the Holy Spirit. Go to the next one. Be kind and tenderhearted, forgiving as God in Christ forgave you. Forgiven to forgive. That's what he calls us to. I've done this great amount of grace and forgiveness in your life. Share it with people who don't deserve it. Why? You didn't deserve for God to forgive you. None of us deserve it. If we deserved it, it's not grace. Take the undeserved grace God has given you and share it with someone else. Amen. Now may the peace of God, the shalom of God, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.